You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Gareth Topham, Ollie Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's Newbury, Newcastle and Nottingham on Friday afternoon. Catterick and Newmarket in the evening on the domestic front. There's also racing over in Ireland as well from Tramore on Friday night. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. Hi, Andrew.
Greetings. I'm good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Good man. Plenty to look forward to. The deck's out for this weekend as we record this, so we're going to look ahead to some of Saturday's action. We're also going to have a quick discussion about York and then get stuck into this Friday's racing. The William Hill Great St Wilfrid is the feature race at Ripon on Saturday. We've got 20 of them declared for the Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs. Betting on site at the moment as well, headed by Orion's Bow at 9-2. 8-1 for Kimberella. Nuno Tristan is 10-1 with Related. 11-1 for Intisab. 14's Perfect Pasture and Snapshots. 2 for another one at 14-1. 16's or bigger for the rest. Nice competitive handicap. Always a good race to look forward to, the William Hill Great St Wilfrid. Andrew?
Yeah, I love this race. It used to be a case of just go with the course winners. You know, back in the day when sort of Tim Easterby was winning it for several years. But in recent years, it's been a carve-up between David O'Mara and Richard Fahey. They've won the last 5 renewals between them. And I'm very keen on one of O'Mara's this year, and that's Intisab. This one was second at York last time out to Kimberella, but was badly drawn that day. The winner was drawn in stall 5, raced on the far side. The third and fourth were drawn in stalls 4 and 1 and also raced on the far side, whereas Intisab was stall 14. Had to be switched left at the start to sort of track across to join the main group, and I thought did really well to finish second in that race. And you look at his record in 6 furlong handicaps. He's had 6 runs, 3 wins and 3 seconds. Every single second badly drawn. So he was on the wrong side at York last time, the wrong side at York on the 11th of June behind Pomme de Terre, and again behind Normandie Barriere, who's won again since at Ascot back in May. So I think this one is arguably unlucky not to be unbeaten in these races. And I think at a double figure price from stall 17, which is near the stand side, not a bad draw. I think he's worth each way support on Saturday.
All right, 11-1 in the market at the moment. Intisab finally getting the draw his way by the looks of things. Any others you would be worried in there? The likes of Orion's Bow, with plenty of ones next to his name.
I'm a big fan of Orion's Bow. He wasn't best drawn in the Stewards' Cup. That was an excellent effort to finish second to Dancing Star. So the winner was drawn 4 in that day. And Orion's Bow did best of those, berthed in double figures when second from stall 12. I still think he's progressing. And a middle draw is not the disadvantage it used to be over the straight 6 at Ripon. There's not been a great deal in the draw there in recent years. And I'd certainly give that one a good chance. But at the prices, I'd rather be on Intisab at 11-1 each way than Orion's Bow at 9-2.
Yeah, fair point. Good stuff. That's the William Hill Great St Wilfrid Stakes, which comes up on Saturday. I'll obviously get stuck into Saturday's action a little bit close to the time in a little bit more detail. Just want to take a cursory glance or an early glance towards York next week as well. The Ebor meeting starts on Wednesday. One of the highlights of the opening day is the Judmont International Stakes. Different complexion on the race, though, over the last couple of days, because time test didn't work particularly well and will not go to the race. Contrasting reports were postponed, who apparently has been working very well and is as short as even money now at the top of the market.
That's sort of understandable, given that one's profile. Looks the one to beat, and looks as though he's going to scare away quite a few of the opposition, by all accounts. So it's a case of trying to find something to back without the favourite or each way, I think, on the day. But yeah, shame time test's not going.
No.
You would have thought the ground would have been in his favour as well. So Yeah, so obviously, postponed, not had that many runs since joining Roger Varian. Just the three after leaving Luca Cumani last autumn. You know, winning twice in Maidan, and it was very impressive when beating Found in the Coronation Cup at Epsom last time out. So, I mean, what price is he now for the Ark? Is he well to the fore in the betting for that?
Yeah, he was. He was.
I mean, he's 7-1 for the Irish Champion Stakes next month, and so only evens for the Joe Monte. But I think he's going to be very hard to beat in New York next week.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I'll be looking for something for the forecast or without the favourite next week.
Okay, 9-2 favourite for the Ark at the moment, postponed in the anti-post betting for that race. A few other things from New York. I was just reading Silver Rainbow, the Charlie Hills runner, who's unbeaten in three runnings, three outings since being covered by Cable Bay. She's in foal, and she's going to head to the Nunthorpe. Apparently, that's one thing I've been reading this morning. Just a bit of news there.
All right, that'll be interesting. That's shaping up to be a fantastic heat as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any early opinions in the Nunthorpe? Is it, apart from that, it's going to be good, isn't it?
It's going to be flipping hard to win. That's the early thoughts. No, I need to wait for the draw because there's been a massive advantage to the far side in big field York sprints this year. It's been virtually impossible to win from a double figure draw. So, hold fire until we know who's drawn where.
Yeah, keep your powder dry until we know the shape of the race, I suppose. Good stuff. Let's leave that there anyway. We'll obviously move on to York in plenty of detail next week. Got that to look forward to. Really look forward to the Ebor meeting at York. But we've got matters a little more pressing to concentrate on because Friday's racing is fast approaching, and we'll get Andrew's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Good Friday racing coming up. We're going to look at three races at Newbury and the finale from Newmarket as well. And we start in the 250 at Newbury, which is a Class 4 handicap over a mile on the straight course. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got nine runners in the lineup at the moment. Some of these in pretty decent form, likes of Corporal Maddox and Lou Larney, but several others in with chances. Andrew, what are your thoughts in the 250?
Yeah, the first thing I look at for Newbury races on the straight course is trying to work out who's going to make the running, because it can be an advantage to be up with the pace there. And it looks like Lulani is going to get a relatively easy time of things in front here. This one was only sixth at Windsor on a penultimate start, but that race has worked out especially well. Runner-up Red Tea has won again, has won a couple of times since. And you sort of go through that race and pretty much everything that was in the sort of top half dozen has come out and won since, including Lulani, who, made all to score by 2.5 lengths over 9 furlongs at Sandown last time. Won by 2.5 lengths. You know, it was well drawn that day, but I don't think she was flattered by the draw and pace bias at Sandown. And the only time she's run at Newbury, she won over course and distance as a juvenile on soft ground. So ground conditions don't seem to bother her, whether it's fast or soft. And given an easy time of things in front, which looks likely, I think she could be hard to pass despite having gone up £8 for that Sandown win. Other one of interest was Mr. Music Master, a 7-year-old trained by Ron Hodges. He caught the eye last time out when fifth to Corporal Maddox over the straight 7 at Chepstow, 20-1 that day. Chepstow's another track that can often favour front runners, and the first three that day were up with the pace throughout. Fourth home Gold Hunter did best of those who were ridden patiently, and he came out and won next time. And a few lengths behind that one in fifth was Mr. Music Master, also ridden patiently. And I think, if he can sit a little closer to the pace this year, then perhaps he can reward each way support at decent odds too.
Okay. Do you play the pair against the field there, or would you just pick one
on the other? Yeah, Lulali would be my main play, but I'll certainly have a saver on Mr. Music Master and a little bit of a forecast.
All right, good stuff. That's the 250 at Newbury then. The 320 at Newbury is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and 5 furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 to go to post here. I was originally looking towards the three-year-olds down the bottom of the weights there, Andrew, but they don't have a particularly good record in this race. Just looking through the winners since 2007, I can only see 2 3-year-old winners there.
Yeah, that's right. Epsom Hill 2 years ago for Charlie Fellows when favourite, and Oasis Knight back in 2009 for Marcus Dragoning. And I said, we've only got a couple of three-year-olds this time round, the Graduate and Nice One Centurion at the bottom of the weights. Sort of both arrive here in decent form, having won at least one of the last couple of starts. I was quite interested in Zambezi, the front runner for Philip Hard and George Baker. This pair have got a great record when combining, but it's not easy to make the running over this particular course and distance, the mile five trip at Newbury. And with Zambezi's wins having come over shorter trips, I thought he might just be vulnerable in the closing stages. So I'm going to take him on with the Ian Williams trained Faithful Mount, ridden by Adam Kirby. Kirby's got a fantastic record when riding for this yard. In the last 5 years, 9 winners from 22. There's a 41% strike rate. Not the greatest level stake profit, £4.81 to a £1 stake, but the booking certainly looks significant. And Faithful Mount ran in this race 12 months ago, finishing second to Satellite, trained by William Haggis. And I think it's safe to forgive this one's poor run at Hamilton last time, when only fifth of the seven runners, because that obviously came in a small field, and Faithful Mount needs a big field, strong pace. His wins have come in fields of 15, 19, 12, 11 and 12. So it's a borderline case here with a field of 10, but with an out-and-out front runner like Zambezi to take them along at a good pace, I think Kirby will produce him down the centre late, and yeah, he'll be very hard to keep out the first three again.
Faithful Mount, and the selection for Andrew in the 320, is it just because it's got Mount in the name? Is it?
I've gone down the Pimmy selections. You've read me, yeah. it's my new system.
Faithful Mount, much more serious case stated for that one there in the 320. The 355 is the big race at Newbury on Friday. It's the St Hugh's Filly Stakes, a listed race over 5 furlongs. It's for the two-year-olds. Start here with Mrs Danvers, if we may. Andrew arrives here unbeaten, won the Super Sprint over course and distance last time, up into listed company here, obviously. But what do you make of her? Can she continue her unbeaten run?
Yeah, that's right. She's the obvious starting point. As you say, she's unbeaten the Jonathan Portman filly, and was impressive in landing a very nice prize for the owners in the Super Sprint. But the speed figure she got for that race, doesn't exactly put her clear of this field. In fact, I think race form have only got her sort of like third or fourth in, and I just think she's probably not going to offer much in the way of value because of that unbeaten profile. So, there were others here that were certainly of interest. And the last three winners of this race have prepped at Ascot, and I was quite interested in Dainty Dandy for Paul Cole. This one was 25-1 when running in the Princess Margaret Judd Monty Stakes at Ascot last time, a Group 3 race for fillies. Bumping into Fair Eva, we all know a lot about, and was beaten three quarters of a length for second place, Kilmar getting that position. And she was, a length and a quarter clear of the fourth, and, it was a good run. She showed good early speed that day, and she's not necessarily well drawn here out towards the stand side, I think from stall 12, but given that she's got early toe, she might be able to get a good pitch down the middle of the track. And I think Dainty Diva could be the value against Mrs. Danvers.
Dainty Dandy.
Dainty Dandy.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused.
Do you have any stats there for Paul Hannigan running for Paul Cole? It's something that you don't see very often.
Hannigan for Cole, that's a good point. Let's, here we go. Trainer jockey combination. Dainty Dandy, Paul Cole, Paul Hannigan. Only seven rides, four no wins, but four places. So small sample size, and probably not particularly positive or negative either way, really.
Yeah, kind of straight down the middle. All right, so that's the 355 at Newbury, then Dainty Dandy, the selection for Andrew there. And we finish off in the 815 at Newmarket. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. A field of eight will go to post for this one. And could be quite a good race. The Secret Art, Dutch Law, Briardale, Eastermate and Palmerston all arrive here on the back of a win.
Yeah, this is a cracking contest. Secret Art got the best last time out speed figure, but that was on soft ground at Sandow, when winning in a field of 15 at 16-1, beating Doncha into second. I just worry about this one's form on faster ground. In the frame a couple of times and good to firm at Sandown before that, but all his wins have come on good or softer, mostly good to soft and soft, and as well as the poly track at Kempton. I'm just worried about the ground for this one. So I'm going to go with course expert Dutch Law, who's on a hat-trick. This one's only had four runs at Newmarket's July course in his career. First, second by a neck in a field of 15, first and first. and justifying favouritism the last twice, latterly in a Class 2 contest by 2 lengths from a session. And so the handicapper keeps putting him up, but he keeps defying it. And you know, I think this is a horse going places, and I think Dutch Law for the Ewan Morrison yard will be hard to beat.
Dutch Law than the selection for Andrew there in the 8:15. As usual, Andrew, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you just want to nominate your selections then for us finally in one little summary.
Yeah, certainly. In the 2:50 at Newbury, I'm with Lulani, but I'm also going to have a saver on Mr. Music Master. Then we're going to the 3:20 at Newbury, where I'm very confident that Faithful Mount will reward each way support and continue the good record of Ian Williams and Adam Kirby when combining. And then I'm going for Dainty Dandy, not Dainty Diva, in the 3:55 at Newbury. That's the listed St. Ewes Filly Stakes. And then finally, we're off to Newmarket, where I'm with course experts Dutch Law in the 8:15.
Superb. Good work, Andrew. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. Andrew will be in the studio. He'll be joined by Gareth Topham and Ollie Pimlott. It's Newbury, Newcastle and Nottingham in the afternoon, Catterick and Newmarket in the evening on the domestic front, and racing over in Ireland as well from Tramore. So a good day to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.